The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does.
Amen, brother.
Winster, how are you, my brother?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing good.
Happy Independence Day to all the beautiful Americans that are out
happy
there.
Happy Independence Day, Travis.
Hey, happy Independence Day, guys.
Or at least the day we choose to celebrate it.
Hey, quick announcement.
Yes, sir.
They're putting flags on the sidewalks in Reading here. On Market Street is Troop Number 37 Boy Scouts, and on Hilltop is Troop Number 125.
Oh, the Boy
outstanding.
Boy Scouts are doing it, huh?
Yep, Boy Scouts.
Awesome.
Outstanding.
Well done, boys. Well done.
Well, if you're listening to us right now, we are broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and this program is archived. So if you can't listen to it now,
listen to it later.
You can. Or you can listen to it later, too. Or you can share it with all your friends, and they can all listen to it later.
And your enemies.
Or your frenemies.
Your frenemies. There we go.
Today's an interesting day, and we want to talk about today. We want to talk about the liberty of our country. We want to talk about the events that happened on July 2nd, the events that happened on July 4th. And when we look at this and we look at the Declaration of Independence, we kind of see things in different movies and stuff. They show the Declaration being done and it's like, you know, it's all done and they hand it in. But actually, the Declaration of Independence had a total of 86 alterations. There were 500 words that were eliminated and there are 1,337 words in the Declaration of Independence. So after 3 days of wrangling, the document was put to a vote, and it was in Independence Hall where Patrick Henry thundered, "I am no longer a Virginian, sir. I am an American." But today, July 2nd, the loud, sometimes bitter argument stilled. Without fanfare, the vote was taken from north to south by the colonies, as was the custom. On July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was adopted. There were any trumpets. No one stood on his chair and cheered. The afternoon was warming and waning. Congress had no thought of delaying the full calendar of routine business that was on its hands. For several hours, they worked on many other problems before adjourning for the day. You know, liberty has a price. There's much to lose. You know, don't you ask yourself, what kind of men were the 56 signers who adopted the Declaration of Independence, and who, by their signing, committed an act of treason against the crown? You've heard of, like, you know, Franklin, Adams, Hancock, Jefferson. They're the most familiar. But, you know, when you stop and look at the overall group of men that did this, Ben Franklin was the only really old guy. 18 were under the age of 40. 3 were in their 20s. Of the 56, almost half, 24 were judges and lawyers. 11 were merchants. 9 were landowners and farmers, and the remaining 12 were doctors, ministers, and politicians. And there's only a few exceptions, like Sam Adams of Massachusetts. Most men had substantial property, and all but 2 had families. The vast majority of the men had tremendously been well educated. They had great standing in their communities. Frankly, they had more to lose than to gain by fighting for liberty. So, You know, as you look at all this, these men, they risked everything. I mean, that, you know, as Franklin said, you know, indeed we must hang all together, otherwise we shall assuredly hang separately. You know, and Benjamin Harrison, who was of Virginia, was a big guy, really big, and he told Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts, you know, if they did hang with me, it'll all be over in a minute, but you, since he was smaller and a slight man, will be dancing for an hour after I'm gone. Those are some of the remarks that were made. I know we have a caller, but maybe he can call back in about 10 minutes or so, because I'd like to get through this if I could. So these men knew what they risked. You know, the penalty for treason was hanging. You know, so it was principle, not property, that had brought these men to Philadelphia. You know, when you think about the sacrifices they made, the sacrifices they were about to make, you know, their blood, their treasure, their sacred honor. And they understood that there were things that they had to pursue. Life, liberty, property. However, there was a fourth. And that was John Adams making the comment. Life, property. And how do we protect that? The right to protect it all. And that's what we have the Second Amendment for, is to protect it all. So the resolution was formally adopted on July 4th. But it was really July 2nd that the declaration was voted on. You know, John Adams made the comment that July 2nd would be remembered in the annals of American history and would be marked with fireworks and celebrations. But it really wasn't until July 8th that two other states authorized their delegates to sign. And not until August 2nd the signers met in Philadelphia to actually put their names to the declaration. You know, and even before the list was published, the British marked down every member of Congress suspected of having put their name to treason in the eyes of the king. And all of them became objects of vicious manhunts. Some were taken. Some, like Jefferson, had narrow escapes. All who had property or families near British strongholds suffered. You know, when you think about what happened to some of these folks, you know, this wasn't easy going at all. I mean, you know, Francis Lewis, a New York delegate, saw his home plundered. His estates, which is now his estates were in Harlem, which is now known as Harlem. They were completely destroyed by British soldiers. Mrs. Lewis was captured and treated with great brutality. And even though later on two British prisoners were exchanged for her, but she died from the effects of all the abuse she had taken. William Floyd, another New York delegate, was able to escape with his wife and children across to Long Island and went on into Connecticut, where they lived as refugees with that income for 7 years. When they came home, they found everything just in ruin. You know, I mean, Lewis Morris, the fourth New York delegate, saw his timber, crops, and livestock taken. For 7 years, he was barred from his home and family. You know, and this one's a heartbreaker. This was John Hart of Trenton, New Jersey. He risked his life to return home to see his dying wife. Hessian soldiers rode after him, and he escaped in the woods. While his wife lay on her deathbed, the soldiers ruined his farm, wrecked his homestead, and Hart, 65, slept in caves and in the woods as he was hunted across the countryside. When at long last, emancipated by the hardship.
Emaciated.
Yeah, emaciated. Too bad he wasn't emancipated.
Yeah, no doubt.
He was able to sneak home, and he found his wife had already been buried. His 13 children had been taken away, and he never saw them again. He died of a broken heart in 1779 without ever finding his family. Go on and on and on about all these, you know, there's Robert Morris, Dr. Benjamin Rush, you know, John Martin, you know, all the maladies, all the tragedies, all the heartbreak, all the loss of property these guys all went through. They gave their all, you know, and that was something I think that a lot of people, you know, look at. You know, when, you know, you think about, you know, the 56 that actually signed the Declaration of Independence. You know, 9 died of wounds or hardships during the war. 5 were captured and imprisoned. In each case, the brutal treatment had really cost them wives, families, sons, daughters. As I said before, one lost 13 children. 2 wives were brutally treated. 17 lost everything they owned. Yet not one defected or went back on his pledged word, their honor, and the nation they sacrificed so much to create is still intact. The 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence proved by their every deed that they made no idle boast when they composed the most magnificent curtain line in history. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. We have that happening in our country now. We've had that happen over the last year. Ask Shelley Luther, a salon owner, who was arrested, handcuffed, put in jail for keeping her salon open so that she could feed her family. Think about that. Think about the fact that Walmart and Costco have lines of people all huddled next to each other. They could be open, but she couldn't feed her family. How about Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, a pastor who would not stop his services? This was in Florida. Well, Sheriff Chad Cronister arrested him. Not only did he arrest him, but he arrested him on a second-degree misdemeanor, which carries a maximum fine of $500. Second-degree misdemeanor. He sent in helicopters. He pulled in deputies from other counties. And he held a press conference. You know, and you go back to, okay, as Christians and as pastors, we're told in Romans 13 not to be lawless, right?
Yep.
Well, what happens when the law is lawless? Do you not stand up against it? Do you just comply? The laws now are lawless. This sheriff in Florida, what a despicable, despicable character. A second-degree misdemeanor. How much did it cost to fly the helicopters in? And why the heck were the helicopters there? Unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. Life, liberty, property, and the right to defend them. Do you feel like that's happening to you now? When the Declaration of Independence was written, you know, there had been 700 years of struggle in England. You know, in 1100 was the Charter of Liberties. 1215 was the Magna Carta. The Petition of Right was 1628. Grand Remonstrance, 1641. And the English Bill of Rights. And when Hamilton had talked about the English, he referred to the charters, these 5 charters, as the British Constitution. That's Federalist Papers 84. So, you know, when you look at this and understand that what was happening was really nothing new under the sun when it came to the things that were being written, the things that the Declaration of Independence brought forward. It was God-given liberty. God-given liberty, not man-given. So, you know, when we start thinking about, you know, human nature a bit here in our country and what happened in our country, you know, it's human nature to look for a leader. It's human nature to stay where you're comfortable, isn't it? Isn't it? We can't wait to see, you know, if a group is going to do it, you know. We can't wait to see if a group is going to do it. When we get 1,000 people, we can do something. What does the group think? It's always been one man, hasn't it? One person, one lady. James Otis Jr. You know? He challenged Parliament in 1761. And when he challenged them on the different writs of assistance that were being done, which means stuff could be searched without any kind of, in the colonies, without any kind of issuance of what specifically can be searched or taken. He stood up. In the Bible, Daniel stood up. In the Bible, Joseph stood up. In the Bible, Moses stood up. We have to stand now. We're seeing a lot of things that are happening in our counties, in our state, in our country. And when we look at our counties, we have a position of recalling local officials. Only 31 states out of the 50 have that position to where they can actually recall local officials. In Georgia, you can't recall your, what we call supervisor, they call commissioner. You can't do that. In California, it's unprecedented. We have 68 people that are being recalled in California. Never had that happen before.
And we have 3 here in Shasta County out of the 58 counties in the state. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Well, you know, really and truly, when you stop and think about all the different laws that have been broken, the adherence to the Constitution, again, we talk about constitutional sheriffs. Well, a sheriff should be constitutional. We talk about constitutional counties. I had a chit-chat with Pete Peters about this. We were talking about constitutional counties and how there's 2 in Nevada. How do you have a constitutional county when your duly elected representatives in the republic we call the United States, and in our county, these supervisors don't follow the Constitution?
That they take an oath to.
That they take an oath to. That they break oaths to.
Yeah, do they not understand the impact of the oath?
Exactly.
They're promising. Essentially, what they're doing is putting their sacred honor on the line to follow the Constitution. And they're disregarding it wholeheartedly.
Jim, if you're out there, feel free to call in. Sorry about that. I got a little long-winded, but, you know.
That was a first.
Yeah.
No, but it was good. Great information. Great information.
Well, you know, again, it's human nature to pick a leader. You know, it's human nature. The other thing is, too, is, you know, we've been training, you know, our generation in the wrong information about government. We've been training them to be submissive and compliant to authority. Even the churches have done that. I know that Chris Ann Hall and her husband, J.C., had a hard time speaking about these kinds of things, about liberty, about our duty, about the Christian duty to uphold what's right and true and honest. And they were, a lot of churches don't want to mix politics and don't want to mix, you know, with church. I mean, really?
Church and state, they're always saying separation of church and state, when if it wasn't for the church, we wouldn't have state.
Romans 13, don't be lawless. Okay, Jim, we're going to take you, sir. What say you?
Hello.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
So far, so good. Better than we deserve.
Anyway, I got 3 things. First thing was we had a nice ceremony down at the Arboretum, or however you say it, by the north side of the Sundial Bridge. A lot of people, and they recognized the veterans and so forth. Next thing is, if a person would go down on Ron, which is the road, the parallel road past Walmart in Anderson, they will see a beautiful American flag on the big barn down there that they would enjoy. There, on the 28th of July, the Wall of Remembrance from 9/11 will be there under the auspices of the museum, the Northern California Museum. And lastly, this is a political thing. I would like to thank all the Democrats that I'm out there paying $4 a gallon for gas. It's just wonderful. Every time I go from $1.97 to $4.50, it just thrills me.
Commander, do you miss Trump now?
I missed him the day that he left. But the problem is not that. Really, now getting serious, I can see, as a 91-year-old man, I can see this country going to hell in a handcar, and there ain't a damn thing I can do about it.
Well, you know, the thing that we have to start concentrating on is local government. I mean, that's
Amen.
That's exactly what it is. It's all about local government. I mean, you know,
yep.
God created man created society, and society,
yep.
man created all of government.
You know. The biggest thing is get the damn fraud out of the vote and make my vote count. I only get one, and to see it thrown down the river, it just absolutely destroys me. I'm getting to the point where I can't watch national news because I get so upset, but that's another story. And thanks for your program. Thanks for letting me call in. And don't forget the 28th of July through the 1st of August. The wall will be there, and it's something to see, and it certainly would be a great community event.
And, Commander, give our love to your beautiful bride, and thank you, sir, Commander.
She's listening, and she says thank you.
You bet. I mean, you two are treasures of this community, valued treasures of this community.
And our country.
And our country.
The service that they both
yes,
provided to our country.
Absolutely.
Many years. And
well, she also wanted you to know all her relatives are from England, and she's going to call England and congratulate them on a wonderful celebration. Take care.
She's got a great sense of humor. I love her.
Thank you, Commander.
Thank you, Commander.
Commander Gibson, amazing, amazing treasure we have here. So, Rich, we have Rich on the line. Rich, what say you, sir?
Good morning, Rich. Good
morning, Rich.
Morning. Stones of Iron here. A quick field report. Last night at the fairgrounds petition gathering went very well. As soon as the helicopter flew in with the banner, people started coming up to the booth. Obviously, same colors and decals. What's going on with this recall? And we actually wound up being kind of shorthanded. It really started picking up. And tonight, Fireworks Civic Center, there's a little misinformation going on out there. Something about it being canceled. It has not been canceled. It has been modified. The festival portion of it has been canceled, but the fireworks portion and the civic grounds are still open. There will be vendors there, 6 p.m., and Recall Shasta will be there in force. And this is going to be our last Grand Slam public event, short of the Community Town Hall coming up on July 31st, which we'll get into later. So everybody, please show up. We can use as many volunteers as possible tonight. It's going to be pretty epic, especially when that banner starts flying.
Awesome.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Be safe out there.
Yes, well, sir.
Thank you.
All these good patriots doing all this good work. Yes, they're doing it. They're making it happen. And it starts local. And in your community, whatever community you happen to live in, whatever county you happen to live in, it's local. We can't do your county, you can't do our county, but by gosh, you can do your own county like we are doing. So please step up and make it happen.
We're going to also be giving you some information we got from Chris Ann Hall, and if you haven't watched the noncompliance movie, you need to watch it.
Yeah.
Chris Ann and J.C. Hall, I believe, are the two most educated people probably in the world on the Constitution. Chris Ann is an absolutely amazing teacher. You know, Wynn and I had the privilege of sitting down with her for, and Janet Chandler and Mark Baird and my wife. We sat down with her and her husband in Sal and I's living room for around 8 hours and went over the Jefferson Constitution, went over some other things, and they're just amazing. The wealth of knowledge and the depth that they understand the Constitution. Here's the beauty of it, though. what they're able to do is explain it in a way that's extremely palatable and reasonable. And you know what? You finally go, oh, yeah, I get it now.
Makes sense.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about local government when we get back on this day that we celebrate the independence of our country. Time has come.
Verse 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Happy birthday, America. It's the 4th of July. I get to wake up in your freedom, but sometimes I wonder why. Seem like everybody's pissing on the red, white, and blue. Happy birthday, America. Whatever's left of you.
Removing Leonard Modi is a course correction for Shasta County. Do you live in District 2, Supervisor Leonard Modi's district? If so, check your mailbox. This July, you'll receive a recall petition to sign and return. Make your voice heard by sending a clear message that we the people are not powerless in rejecting corrupt leadership. We will not stand for corruption. Sign the recall petition today.
Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee. /recallShasta.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Please help our county back to a more constitutional government that represents we the people. On July 4th, Recall Shasta will be at Tiger Field, 1000 Cypress Avenue, for the Chad Bushnell concert, and at the Reading Civic Auditorium for the fireworks show. Look for the yellow and black posters and shirts, and please sign to get the special election which will allow the people their vote on whether or not to replace the board majority. Visit recallshasta.org.
Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee /recallShasta.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Hmm. We're all made in America.
Chris Ann Hall. I quote, "Our power is local." Yes, that was loud. Sorry. Can't say it any more importantly than that. The state constitution actually gives you a clear picture on what your rights are. Remember, see, and we won't get into that today, but we're going to. We're going to talk about this compact, the contract. The contract is not between the federal government and the states. The Constitution, that's the contract, is between the states. The government, the federal government, is the product of the contract. And a compact is two legal entities, two governments, several governments in this case. Because the word state, as Jefferson said, is likened to the word country. He compared the state of Virginia to the state of England, France, and Spain. So your power is local. There's many more things you can control locally. If the states control the federal government, and this will be another program, but we'll talk about this. The only enumerated rights delegated by the states to the government are the ones in the Constitution. The BLM, the school boards, EPA, you name it, the FBI, all this stuff, none of this stuff is constitutional. None of it's constitutional. None of it has anything. The federal government is not a party to the Constitution. It is the product of. So when does the creation control the creator?
Never. It should never control it. So then when we become Jefferson, we will be on the equal footing, the equal footing doctrine, as the 13 states that first formed our country. So what kind of government entities did they have then? Did they have government overreach? Nope. Did they allow it? Nope. Do you think Jefferson will? Nope. It will be interesting to see how that all plays out when the time comes. And believe me, the time will come.
Well, if you get control over your local and state government, what power does the Fed have?
Zero.
Well, they have enumerated rights, which were delegated to them as a product.
From the state.
From the state.
But then you have the counties within the state.
Absolutely.
So the counties, if they, are operating on all cylinders, can do the same thing.
Well, you have the assumed authority and you have legal authority. The government has assumed authority. It's assumed. Now,
well, just think about it. The Board of Supervisors in all the counties in the state of California, because they're all supervisors, they have the executive and legislative power of their county. Executive and legislative power for their county. That's what they have. Why are they not using it properly in that manner? Just asking.
Yeah.
Use it as executive and legislative power for their specific county and citing the oath that they took for each action taken. They took an oath to the Constitution of the state of California, which states that the Constitution of California is that the federal constitution, is the supreme law of the land, and it is subservient to that. California is subservient to that. It's the supreme law of the land.
Only if Article 6, Clause 2 of the United States Constitution is followed, and this is where the states get you, like California.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they say is first of all, we have the states and we're the power. No, because of the compact that was made between the states creating this federal government, that in Article 6, Clause 2, that laws have to become consistent with the United States Constitution, pursuant thereof. In other words, it has to be, if it's not in the Constitution, a law just can't be made up. So a state can do different things, sort of like what they did with Article 5, Section 13 of the California Constitution,
mm-hmm.
when they gave the Attorney General complete power. Well, that's fine and dandy, except, what does the sheriff do? And I know our former sheriff had made the comment, well, you don't have to follow the laws of California. No, you don't, because that's not the oath you swore to. You have a duty. You are duty bound
yep.
to do what a government is supposed to do, and that's protect our rights. That's what a government's supposed to do, isn't it? Isn't that even why we created the federal government? I mean, we created the federal government so that it would do nothing but defend our rights. That's all it does. That's all it can do. So, you know, when you have legally sovereign governments, like the states, who ratify and put together a constitution, which is for the federal government, the federal government is the byproduct of that, the product of it. It's not part of it. You know, you're going to hear some professors say, it's contracts between the state and the federal government. It's not. The states created the federal government. The federal government is the product of the contract. You can't be a party to a contract if you're the product. You know, we look at all these different things, and we don't seem to understand that the powers are delegated. What does delegate mean? It's a temporary trust. It's authority by a higher power. Who's the higher power? The states, who created what? The product, which is what? The federal government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, the purpose of the power given of the states is to the federal government to secure our rights. That's the only purpose of government, to secure our rights. Does unlawful law secure our rights? No, it does not. That is the sheriff's out. That is the sheriff's out, right there.
That they just have to educate themselves on this process and understand what they actually took an oath to, which clearly they do not.
Well, that, and also, it can't just be one man.
That's correct.
You know, and the thing is that people say, well, you know, the Constitution's a living contract. How can it be living? I mean, how can it, okay, there's a thing called the meeting of the minds. What that is that's the people who put together a contract or put together a contract compact. When the contract is put together, they sit down and they tell us what the contract is supposed to do. We were told what the contract's supposed to do. We know what it's supposed to do. Again, Article 6, Clause 2, United States Constitution. Laws have to be consistent pursuant to the Constitution of the United States. Unbelievable. But we've created a whole generation of people that are just submissive.
Well, and we are duty-bound as sovereign citizens of this great country and our state to go against those unlawful laws. We have to. Or we're no better than those who perpetuate those unlawful laws upon us.
You're right.
And we're passing that down, those actions, we're passing it down to our posterity. Really? You're going to force your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to endure the garbage that's been perpetuated on us? I'd rather fight now and take care of business, get it fixed, straightened out, cleaned up, back to a moral, ethical way of operating for the sovereign citizens of our great state and country, than force that onto my children or future grandchildren.
And remember, the sheriff is the constitutionally elected representative of the people. His duty is to secure your rights, not to obey law just blindly.
Interpose. He's supposed to interpose.
Exactly.
Why is he not doing that?
Exactly. Unbelievable. You know, I mean, you know.
I shouldn't say he, but all of them. Why are they not doing that?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, when we signed this Declaration of Independence, I mean, you know, the government mandates were something that we weren't going to put up with that, the Stamp Act, et cetera, et cetera. These different things that happened to us in our country were government mandates. You know, warrantless searches, denials of due process. Any of that sound familiar, folks? Any of that sound familiar? You know, we have to, you know, when we talk about all people being created equal by their creator, we're looking at a situation here where our rights don't come from man. Our rights come from our maker, nature's God. You know, and as we look at what happening to all these people, I mean, the people in Loudoun, Virginia, two guys getting arrested for trespassing during a public meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. That was
at a school board meeting.
Look what happened in Chico.
Yeah.
To those ladies that were in there, three ladies that were inside a city council meeting just not too long ago. These three ladies are in there, and the police, a certain lieutenant in the Chico Police Department, drove all around all their houses and served them with misdemeanors. It was all over the news, misdemeanors. Three ladies. They had to close down the meeting. Did they feel like there was a threat? I'm sure the lady that was knitting, that was drinking the iced tea, was a real threat, real menace to society.
And none of those ladies would ever do anything inappropriate, wrong, immoral, or unethical. Totally contrast to those that are running the city there in Chico.
Totally contrast. You know, and I think that... you know, we have to start understanding how our country works. We have to start understanding where the power is. And again, you know, we keep hearing the term constitutional sheriff. No, we have to have sheriffs that follow the Constitution.
There's a difference.
Actually, yes, there is.
Huge difference.
Their job, their only job, is to secure our God-given, constitutionally protected rights. That's their only job. That's government's only job.
Yep.
Department of Homeland Security. Let's name a few more. All these other departments, the agencies.
All these agencies come out of former politicians needing a job after they are voted out, and then they end up becoming a department head or a chairman or something to run an agency, and then they make big money off of that. So the taxpayer is footing the bill, once again, for all these things that keep happening. That's why you look at California, 573 plus or minus state agencies. Really? Why? When you look at, say, New Mexico and a couple other states that are operating just fine, you know, 45 to 50 state agencies, and even then, those are more than are absolutely necessary. But California, 573 state agencies,
wow.
And they're redundant. A lot of the state agencies are redundant. Heck, you look in our county. Look in our county. Some of the departments within our county are redundant. Why? Some of them are unnecessary. Statewide, maybe even so in the county. You have to really start looking at what we've got here, folks.
Well, you know, and again, we go back to the states, and you're absolutely right, my good friend. If you look at the word reserved, okay, you know, if it's not delegated to the federal government, it's reserved to the states. Reserved means it exercises an exercise of dominion over a thing to the exclusion of all others. So if it's not in the Constitution, it's not reserved. Now, how do all these things happen in our states? Because we let them in our states.
There were strings attached.
We let them. And usually it's a form of bribery.
Yep, strings.
Usually it's money, power. You know, I know that next week, Janet's going to be on with you.
Yep.
I'm on assignment, and Janet Chandler's going to be on. I know she's going to really bring some things to light on this stuff, too. You know, because if you don't have rights, you're a slave. You know, if you don't have rights, you're a slave. You know, power is derived from the governed, not from Congress, not from the courts, and not from the president. All power is derived from the governed, not Congress, not the Supreme Court, and not the president. So we have to understand that the Constitution, being a kind of contract that is called a compact's different than a contract because of who's involved. A contract is an agreement between two legally sovereign people. A compact is between legally sovereign governments. Again, let's go back to what Jefferson said. Jefferson said, the state of Virginia is likened to the state of Spain, the state of England, and the state of France. Because the state of California, the state of New Mexico, the state of Texas are legally sovereign governments. Can the state of Texas come into the state of California and say, hey, you need to do it this way? No, they cannot. So how can the federal government, which is the product of the compact of the states, how can the federal government do that? They can't. Why do they? Because we let them. Those are the things that we have to start understanding and learning and standing up and not complying. Not complying like those two guys that own the gym in New Jersey. They got shut down with Costco right down the street and Walmart right down the street with pictures of people with masks on standing next to each other pushing carts.
The masks that don't work?
That don't work, you know. And they virtually went in. Their business was boarded up. They kicked the door down. They got arrested.
For entering their own property.
For entering their own property. But the thing that's so egregious, I mean, this Sheriff Chad Cronister, I don't know, maybe somebody can look that up and see what happened to that guy. I mean, talk about getting rid of him. Think about it. A second degree misdemeanor with a $500 fine. He sends in helicopters to stop a pastor, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, from preaching. I mean, if that doesn't raise the hair on your neck, I don't know what will. Helicopters. And he called in other counties. He needed backup. For what? Seriously. The Chico Police Department sending out a lieutenant to go out and take a ticket on a 403, which is disturbing the peace and interrupting a meeting, and your behavior is that they had to stop the meeting. Three women sitting there, one drinking her iced tea.
And they didn't do anything to interrupt the meeting.
Not a thing.
They walked in the room and sat down.
And sat down.
That's all they did. They didn't say anything. They didn't raise their voice. They didn't carry banners and signs. They didn't do anything to disrupt the meeting. And they were well away from those who were sitting up behind plexiglass wearing their mask and trying to run the meeting, who were sitting probably 5-6 feet apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the scare there? They're just, it's scare tactics. It's that mindset that, you know, they have to do something to perpetuate the cause of what's going on here in California.
Well, what about the DA of Shasta County? I mean, seriously? Okay, well, let's have this court deal. Let's have this trial. Let's go to court over somebody throwing water on somebody else. And that's battery? Maybe it is, but really and truly, with everything else that's going on, oh, I know. Let's send out our overworked, understaffed, underpaid, year behind investigators from the DA's office to visit two law-abiding women. Let's do that. I know. Unbelievable. The corruption is unbelievable. And why does it happen? Because we let them. The people who serve you do not serve you. All power is derived from the governed. Not the Congress, not the Supreme Court, not the President, not the Board of Supervisors. They have not followed the Constitution. I think everybody is getting really tired of the corruption. You know?
And we are paying for the corruption. We are paying through our tax dollars for the corruption. In more ways than one.
Yes.
Over and over and over again.
Yes.
We have to pay for lawsuits that are filed. We have to pay for all this stuff. And we as the sovereign citizens, not only paying once, we're paying twice when we have to file any kind of legal documents or what have you within the county or even the state to fight the state or the county. We have to pay twice because our tax dollars are fighting us, so we have to gin up money to fight it. What the heck? That's not the process that was put forward that we need to be a good stewards of. We need to make sure that we are on top of it, we're watching what's happening, and it all comes back to what we've all been learning is eternal vigilance. We have to keep watching. The more we do that, all of us, the less they are apt to make those kind of strays from what they're supposed to be doing, and they will be more apt to follow the oath in which they took. And if they can't do that, which clearly they cannot do here in Shasta County, they need to go. We are the employers. They are the employees. They have failed on every measure for over a year, well over a year, to do the right things, to be honest with us. They have failed at that. They have basically, essentially, been insubordinate by the things that they say to and or about their employers, these sovereign citizens of our great county. This is unacceptable behavior on any measure. And you know damn good and well that if any of them had businesses and they had people working for them that spoke back to them the way they speak to the taxpayers here in Shasta County, they would have fired them on the spot. So guess what? That's what the recall's about. The recall is about being fired. It's about being terminated. Or at least the recall petition drive right now is to get it on the ballot so that that process can be administered properly and legally and morally and ethically, and by which the whole measure of everything that's been done so far has been. And it has not been easy because of processes put in place and procedures that were not followed through by county staff or officials. So they're making the employer work ultra hard to take care of business and get the employees removed from office. It's our job to do this. This is part of being eternally vigilant, getting this process worked. We're showing ourselves that we can do it. We are showing our kids that we can do it and our grandkids that we can do it. And guess what? We're going to do it. Once they're on the ballot, then that process weighs out as it should. If people want to vote to keep any one of these three supervisors in place, they can do so. But if they want to vote to vote them out, that can happen as well. So I think we need to pay attention to all the details.
So anyway, if we're starting to run out of time here. If there's any callers that call in, they can call into the next program, Sovereign Minds. So we're not taking any more calls just because we've only got like 2 minutes left. Anyway, the thing that we have to understand is that we get the government that we allow.
Absolutely.
And if we allow a government to be in a position to do the things that we don't want them to do, and really you stop and think about the three supervisors that are actually being recalled. They claim to be Republicans. They claim to be conservatives. Now,
are they claiming to be American?
Well, are they? Well, the point is that how come that everyone that backs them is not conservative and not Republicans? I haven't heard one Republican call me on the phone and say, you know what? These guys are stand-up folks. These guys are really people that just, hey, you know, they're stand-up folks. They're doing the right thing with their social contract. Really? A social contract? What is that? What is that? What does that even mean? Article 20 is the oath that you take in the state constitution if, in fact, you are someone who is an elected official. And you take an oath to uphold the state constitution and the United States Constitution. How many people have actually read the state constitution?
I have.
Arduously, yes. Very arduously.
I've been challenged on reading it, so I read it.
Very arduously. I mean, tell me your eyes didn't glaze over in some spots.
No, but my head was trying to explode because I couldn't believe that some of this stuff is in our Constitution.
Well, it's been amended, what, 500 some odd times?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and as we close this program out, you know, the thing is that we're all looking to a leader. When Carlos Zapata, whether you agree with him or not, did what he did in the Board of Supervisors, almost 50 million people have seen that. 50 million.
And that came from the heart. That was not a rehearsed performance. That came from the heart of what's going on or what was going on at the time when he said that last spring.
Now he brought
a year ago spring.
Right. And I would say that probably it's safe to say that at least half of those people agreed with him.
Amen.
And, you know, when you look at something like this and you have something like that raise up, they became a leader. We can't wait for everybody till we get 1,000 people or 500 people. When Alyssa McEwen stood up, she did it on her own.
Yep.
Melody Fowler did it on her own.
Yep.
Kathy Stainbrook, who was slapped for her constitutional right in this state of being able to voice
exercise
her opinion
that.
And exercise it on a recall.
Well, you know, that's what cowards do. They go out and they either verbally or in written format or they physically attack. That's what they do.
Happy 4th.
Happy 4th of July.
God bless you all. And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done. Listen to Sovereign Minds coming up next.
Hey, amen.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve out of hate.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.